better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's going to bring back a College World Series title. Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Derek Mossman wanted to tell fans and to Arkansas media, why did you schedule all of you? What was the reasoning behind that? Well, he mentioned the connection, obviously, with Lon Kruger, the teams typically being pretty good under Lon Kruger. You think about Oklahoma basketball, I know it's not in the same category as Oklahoma football, but Kruger's had some good teams as well. Here's what Eric Musselman said about scheduling the Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great series for a multitude of reasons. One, geographically, it makes a ton of sense. Makes, you know, great sense from a recruiting standpoint. Strength of schedule, playing a Big 12 team in a neutral site is great. And, you know, again, I just think from a travel standpoint, it's good for our student athletes because it's so close to Tulsa. It's also great for our fan base as well.
He was also asked about playing a home and home, and he said he didn't think that was a good idea since they're friends. I don't know what that meant, but I you know, to me, I'm not the biggest Norman fan. I think if you're going to judge between Oklahoma State and Stillwater and Norman, you're going to Stillwater every single time. But to me, like, this is awesome. I'm genuinely excited for this basketball game. I mentioned in the first segment, I had several friends already text me, hey, let's get an Airbnb. Let's mark it up for that night. I said, absolutely, because this is going to be a game and an event where I would be shocked if Arkansas fans didn't outnumber the Oklahoma fans.
It's a good alumni base in Tulsa for Arkansas. There's a good Razorback club there that I'm sure will get all the Razorback fans that live in that area out. And like you said, it's a short drive from Northwest Arkansas, 116 miles or whatever it is, mm-hmm. from the River Valley where we're at. It's under 2 hours drive. You say it's an hour and 20. I say it's about an hour 45 if you don't drive 100.
Depends on how fast
you got to actually slow down a little bit for the toll booth so it'll register your Pike Pass. But it is.
You have a Pike Pass?
I have a Pike Pass.
You actually?
Yeah.
How often do you go to Oklahoma, like that part of Oklahoma? Is it worth it?
8 or 9 times a year. Yeah. In basketball season, I'm over there a lot.
I forgot about the reffing aspect. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. Okay.
So it's just, I think it's a great opportunity, and I think playing in the neutral site is good. I think the other thing, and I don't think this was the thought, because I imagine these conversations began long before the current situation we find ourselves in, but, you know, trying to plan right now, hey, we're going to play Indiana again, or we're going to go out west and play someone he's got a connection to on the West Coast, that's a little harder to plan on right now. Staying regional, good non-conference game, 125 miles from the house. That's a good idea right now. I think a lot of teams will try to shrink the geography of their non-conference schedule in the next year or so. And basketball doesn't plan these games out, as we can see from this story, 7, 8, 9 years in advance like football does.
There is an Arkansas connection, obviously. Chris Crutchfield, new assistant coach for the mm-hmm. Arkansas Razorbacks, was formerly under Lon Kruger from 2011 to 2019. Eric Musselman coached under Lon Kruger when he was the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. So there's a couple different connections, and you wonder, how'd this sucker get started? Eric Musselman touched on that.
He had called about this thing early on, and then Hunter got involved with the Oklahoma AD and so on and so forth. And the idea, you know, was originated really with Coach Kruger.
So based on what Eric Musselman said, it seems like Lon Kruger initiated. I would feel, and we'll touch on this coming up, I would feel a little bit weird the fact that I hired one of his assistant coaches away from him. And that to me is just a little bit of an awkward relationship. But it seems like from what Eric Musselman said, Lon initiated it and then the ADs took care of it.
Well, and incestuous is not the right word. There is a lot of people in college sports that move around. Trying to think of what the right descriptor is there, but I think you get what I'm saying, where people move from one school. Those relationships and bonds generally don't get broken to that point. It goes back to, like you were talking about, the Atlanta Hawks days. In some ways, he may have been recommended to to come over here to Arkansas, and there is that tie there. So I wish Arkansas would use this venue, Tulsa, be okay. Hey, let's play Oklahoma for these two or potentially four. Then let's go play Kansas. Then let's go play Oklahoma State. I mean, I know they're playing Oklahoma State football. There are a lot of good schools that this site, this place, this hub would make sense for moving forward.
I know
it would be exciting.
I know we mentioned the potential of playing Kansas and the Sprint Center in Kansas City. That's another big Arkansas alumni.
That's a home game in Kansas City.
Yeah, and they call it Lawrence West. You think about Tulsa, that's a good venue. Dallas is a good venue. There's the attraction you want is a good fertile recruiting base, which I know some of those places you think football first, but a lot of those places have really good basketball talent, and a place with a heavy Arkansas connections. Kansas City, Dallas, and Tulsa all fall into that category. Yeah. And that's why it's a good thing. And
there's a big difference in going to Tulsa for the weekend and going to Dallas for the weekend. Just time-wise, financially, just driving time, all of that.
Mm-hmm. So. But they're close. They're all in kind of that bubble you're talking about where it's close enough. It's not 7 or 8 hours. It's what, 3.5 to Kansas City from Fayetteville,
yep.
1.5 to Tulsa, and then 4.5 to Dallas. Those are all under 5 hours, which is a pretty cool thing. And that's why Eric Musselman thinks that there's going to be a pretty good turnout of Arkansas fans that make their way to the BOK Center on December 12th.
I think the thought process with our administration and with our coaching staff and stuff, we would hope to have a great turnout there. Obviously, Oklahoma will have a tremendous turnout. But I think it's really good for both programs. I really do. And, I know that our fans travel really well, and that should be a natural, place. Tulsa should be easy for our fans to get to.
So I mentioned earlier in the program, I have a sister and brother-in-law that live in Tulsa, and their niece and nephews are basically predestined to be Arkansas Razorbacks like they were. My aunt and uncle live in Tulsa. Aunt's an OK State grad. Uncle is an Arkansas grad. There is a huge Arkansas population there, and it's 1.5 hours from Fayetteville. It's 1:45 if you drive like a grandpa like Tommy does from Fort Smith, and I don't know what it is from Harrison in the Baxter County area, but it's relatively close. You can make it there. You don't even have to stay the night, to be honest, Tommy. If you want to go to the game and you can come back, I don't think they've listed an actual time for the game yet, but I would hope they put it at night so that convinces many people to stay in the Tulsa area because, as you mentioned, there's a lot of great food spots, there's a lot of great drinking spots and watering holes down in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Arkansas doesn't play many games where you're in a downtown setting. I mean, you play in Little Rock where you can stay on one side of the river, walk across the bridge, see the game, go back to the River Market area. Memphis is set up that way. But they don't play in the FedEx Forum very often. There's just not many where you're set up, where you're within walking distance of the hotel, walking distance of some watering holes pre and post game, walk into the game, enjoy that, then go back and have some fun after the game. I'd like to see about a 5 o'clock start on this, but you're going to play whenever TV tells you you're going to play.
Do you remember what NCAA tournament year it was that you went to the games?
Oh, it's
back on the BOK Center, in the BOK Center.
I'd have to probably 2012-ish, 13-ish.
Okay, so relatively, because the BOK Center, we're taking a guess. Jenkins, if you could look this up, the origin. I mean, it's 10 or so years. It's
I've been going over there to concerts and stuff. I've been to probably 3 or 4 concerts, and I've probably been there 5 times to events, something of that nature. It's probably around 10 or 12 years old.
Yeah, and it's
my guess.
For those who haven't been, now I haven't been. Tommy's been, but I have several friends that have attended concerts, games there. It's a very cool venue. Anytime, as you mentioned, Tommy said, you're in a downtown area, and I know Tulsa isn't exactly the most alluring city in the world, but it's close and it's downtown. And there are some really good, as many times I've been to Tulsa, 20 plus times over the history of my life, I can tell you there's a lot of good food spots to eat.
Yeah, I mean, there is. And then you got Bass Pro on the way in, you got stuff in Broken Arrow. As you drive up, depending on which way you're going, I mean, there's things to do.
Just not the unfortunate.
I mean, it's not Dallas. It's not Nashville. But, it's a great weekend getaway.
Except the stupid tolls. Now, you paid for a Pike Pass, but I...
Well, that doesn't make it free, dude. It just makes it convenient.
Yeah, I know. But my thing is last time, maybe it was 2 times ago when I went to Tulsa, I forgot about this. And there was no attendees or whatever. They didn't have a credit card slip that day. So I had to literally ask the car behind me for some quarters and go through, which
millennial
is
move.
Really frustrating. Now, I have a bunch of quarters in my car right now, so hopefully I'll have those by the time that this, yep, this game rolls around in December. But that's always annoying that you have to stop for those tolls. And they don't have a credit card. Like, I never carry cash. I rarely
because
have
because all of them are attended on the turnpike.
Yeah. So, and I
must have been off the beaten path.
Whatever reason, I didn't have anything. So
out in a part of town you shouldn't have been in.
I don't know.
What were you up to?
I just was on Google Maps. So I took it whatever. So
when did they build that thing, Jenkins?
Built? I'll have to look. I'll find that in a second. But the NCAA tournament was there in 2011. Okay. They did the second and third round games then. And then they went back and did.
Well, that's after they had the Dayton deal. So it's essentially the Thursday, Friday.
Yeah. They had 2011, and then they did it again in 2017.
Okay. I went to the one in 11.
So. I don't know when it was built, but the first, do you know what the first event there was? You'll like this. It was the Eagles. The 2008. Eagles?
All right, so it opened in
08.
Roughly 08.
So not that long ago. It's 12 years. That's relatively.
My guess was good.
It's relatively short from a new venue. Hacker and Harrison says no one's walking from the River Market to Alltel Arena.
It's not Alltel. Come on, Hacker.
Oh, man.
Are you calling out your city, your hometown?
Well, listen, there's one bar that I like to go to.
He's saying you'll get mugged if you go across that bridge.
One bar I like to go to in downtown Little Rock, and that's about it.
He ain't lying.
Nightlife down in Little Rock
I've been to a couple shows over there and walked, you know, just stay in groups. You know, don't go by yourself.
Nightlife in Little Rock is nothing special. There's one bar to go to, and that's about it. So, and that's it.
Which one's that?
They don't help us out with the show, so I'm not going to give them any credit for that.
No free plugs.
Yeah, no free plugs. So one of the other things I thought was interesting, we'll get into the conversation with Tom Murphy coming up when he joins us at 7:15, but it's the idea of a budget. And we've talked about how certain colleges across the country have either cut back their coaches' salary, they've furloughed some people. There's a number of different things they're going about shrinking the budget. And Tom Murphy asked Eric Musselman, how are you guys going about that? Here's what he had to say.
Whatever line of work you're in, whether it's your newspaper business or our basketball or the NBA front offices, I think we're all budget conscious right now. And yes, we have done some things already, whether it's with scouting services or whatever, to try to be as fiscal responsible as we possibly can. So there's no doubt that it doesn't matter what's going to happen going forward. We've already made, decisions that make the most sense from a budgetary standpoint. And obviously whatever happens going forward, there'll be more thought put into it.
So that was an interesting response to, I know a lot of people are asking right now, how is the Arkansas, how is the athletic department, how are they combating everything that's going on right now, because the money is not as plentiful. Now, I know Arkansas got through their basketball season. I know they could have had a few more games potentially with the NIT. But
no more home. Well, they could have had some NIT home games, I guess. But no more scheduled home games.
It was thought of that it didn't. It obviously affected the Arkansas baseball season, mm-hmm, and softball season and other spring sports more than it did the basketball season. But it did affect it nevertheless, and it seems like that Eric Musselman, his staff, and his department are at least trying to find ways to kind of curtail spending in whatever way they can.
This is a bad deal now, and that's understating it. But, dude, if this thing had hit in August or September and then you had to refund tickets for a football season, this would have been a disaster that you might not have come back from, not at least in the same form. So you're lucky if you're Arkansas or any of these other schools that this happened at the time of the year it happened on the calendar, where you'd gotten through your big money sports.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just think about, they missed out on the revenue from baseball. They had to refund some ticket money, and, you're not getting concession, your cut of the concessions.
But there's only 20-plus programs
The revenue in some schools probably bottom-lined better because they didn't have baseball season to a degree. And I say that, you still got coaches' salaries and those things that are fixed cost. But, Arkansas's problems are no different than your problems, my problems, anyone listening's problems that's running a business. It's just on a different scale. So, yes, they're looking at every part of their business up there, and it is a business in the athletic department of where can we make some cuts that could impact our bottom line because the revenue stream's cut off right now. People are a little more apprehensive, I'm sure, about making donations and the ticket purchases and just keep going down the ways. The only revenue stream you can probably count on is the check you're going to get at some point from the SEC office for conference distributions. But now you're planning for a reduced distribution in the future. This thing is not, we're seeing baseball, Major League Baseball, already talking to the players about, when they resume the game, about salary cuts for the players who aren't getting paid right now either. So the NBA, the NFL, all of, you know, the NFL doesn't know what they're facing yet. But all of these leagues, that particularly the ones trying to resume right now, are all going to do this. And Arkansas's athletic department is no different.
Yeah, they're just trying to find ways to cut corners here, cut corners there. And just, like, you don't want to be just, well, you don't want to be spending money, not necessarily you don't have, but, like, if you don't need to, then try and cut it back a little bit.
It's money you don't have because the revenue is... It's been cut off.
Yeah, it's been depleted to this point, for depending on what sport you're talking about.
Well, but it all goes into the same bank account, if that makes sense. I know it comes from different streams, but you know, they're not, no one, and I say they, I'm talking people like Greg Sankey, people like Hunter Yurchek. You're just, and no one's, the uncertainty of what your business model is going to look like 6 months or 18 months from now is just so uncertain. You don't, it's hard to plan. You know, you had a plan for this year, planning on $125 million-ish in revenue.
And that's based on what? Athletics.
Based on games being played, tickets being sold, people attending events in your venues. Well, those things aren't happening. And the uncertainty of whether they will happen or how they will happen leaves you unable and handcuffed to be able to make a solid plan on how to run your business.
And if I'm Hunter Yurchek, I'm be a little ticked off on how my comments at the board of directors meeting were taken across the college football media, because he clearly stated we're planning, not we're going to play.
One or two people that just left out the words they wanted to leave out.
Yeah, because they know the storylines and stuff. And so it seems like you get ridiculed anytime that you say that we're planning to do this, we're planning to do that, when that's what you're trying to do, because you plan for the best to happen.
Exactly.
You just have different contingency plans, like Hunter Yurchek has stated they have, if something goes a different way.
You always have plan A, plan B, maybe even plan D, E, and F right now. But I'm telling you, this thing, I don't want to use the, I guess I'll use the word political. This whole thing about the resumption of events, whether it's sports, whether it's concerts, whether it's kids going back to school, it's all become politicized based on your view and your, if you're out there with the keypad and you're writing the article and you don't believe anything should resume, then you're chastising anybody that has a plan to do that. And nobody knows what's going to happen. As you've heard many of our leaders say, and anyone that tells you they do is lying to you. Well, that's the only thing accurate I've heard. Anyone that knows what the future is isn't right. But boy, I'm telling you, depending on your view of this and how you lean and what you personally think is best, you know, I've seen a lot of finger wagging at people that aren't doing what you think they should be doing. And who knows if you're right or they're right.
Unfortunately, that hurts a couple of different guys, particularly Arkansas guys, Mason Jones, potentially Isaiah Joe, and Jimmy Witt, because those are guys that have NBA aspirations, and Eric Musselman was asked about, and so how are they going through? And I'm forgetting the senior showcase game or camp. I think it begins with a P that it has been canceled. Jimmy Witt was planning on going to, was invited to, and they had to cancel it. But you think about the impact, not only just in everyday life, but this is a sports radio station, a sports radio show. Sports-wise, how it's impacted the NBA players, and particularly Isaiah Joe, Mason Jones, and Jimmy Witt. Obviously, there's other people out there, but it's hurt their draft process, their evaluations, and they're going through all that. Here's what Eric Musselman had to say about Mason Jones' decision, his first time commenting on it since Mason Jones signed with an agent.
I mean, like I've kind of said all along, you know, we support him. He had an incredible year. It's really hard to do the things that he did, lead the nation in free throws attempted, lead the nation in free throws made. You know, Mason had a virtual interview yesterday with a team. Jimmy Witt had one early this morning already. So, you know, with our Isaiah's got interviews lined up. So I think with our guys, I mean, you want to support them. And been on the phone a lot about Mason with NBA guys. And, you know, now that they're, you know, that we know that he's in that draft, you know, we just hope that he positions himself to in front of the NBA teams to put himself in the best position to potentially be a draft pick. And
unfortunately, there's not really a great position that he can put himself in because he's not really getting to do what typical guys get to do in this situation year after year.
And even if you're drafted, the NBA Summer League that they play, what, Vegas and Orlando, those are places to showcase your skills, earn some money, increase your roster stock, if you will, whether you're going to be on a G League roster or whether or not, hey, this guy needs to be looked at as someone that comes off the bench for us in an NBA, or maybe you're going to be a two-way guy that plays at both levels. That's the place to showcase your skills against guys of similar caliber talent. And the NBA's not playing, so the Summer League, you can imagine that's off. And maybe there's a plan to have a reduced or a later season for that, but you know, that's always a big deal. Well, right now, if the NBA comes back, their schedule's all out of kilter. So, you know, there's another opportunity lost for a lot of guys across college basketball.
And some of the guys in the NBA today have made rosters based on what they've done in the Summer League, in Orlando, in Las Vegas. I mean, that's very important for some of these fringe-type guys, and Mason Jones falls into that category. He's not going to be a lottery pick. He's not going to just limp into a roster spot. This guy is going to have to earn every bit of his keep, and you do that by showcasing your ability. And I think Mason Jones would have a pretty solid Summer League if given the opportunity, but it doesn't look like he's going to get that chance.
Yeah, so just have to see, you know, how do you separate yourself from your competition? And your competition's everyone else that's up for the draft. There's 120 of these spots or whatever they're going to – no, there's 60 of these spots they're going to draft to.
Mm-hmm.
There's 30 picks in two rounds. There's so, you know, there's probably several hundred guys that hope to have their name called. There's only room for 60, so – how do you separate yourself? How do you get on someone's radar that, hey, I've got two picks perhaps, and I'm going to spend one of them on you?
And it's a niche league. The guys like Patrick Beverley, who not his sole responsibility is defense, but that's where he really makes his money is his defensive presence. And if Mason is, he's not exactly the best defender, but if he can provide 10 or 12 points off the bench like that, then NBA teams are definitely going to give him a look, which if you've looked at how much he's improved the majority of his offensive game this past season, he could be that spark. He could be that spurt for an NBA franchise.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, home.
So one of the reasons that Eric Musselman hired Coach Chris Crutchfield is because of his track record of putting guys in the NBA. Trae Young, Buddy Hield, two of the most notable guys, two of the best basketball players in the last decade out of college. Here's what he had to say about hiring Crutch away from Lon Kruger and the Oklahoma Sooners.
You know, I called him and asked if it was okay if I talked to Crutch. That was kind of the protocol. And then I kind of updated him on our conversations and saw him very quickly after the hire was made at a tournament. And we sat together and watched a game for an hour and a half. We were both recruiting the same guy. I mean, Coach Kruger is the easiest guy in the world to get along with and have a relationship with.
So you have Corey Williams, who's played in the NBA. Muss is coaching the NBA, coaching the G League, coaching the D League, he has CBA, all that. Clay Mosier spent a lot of time with the Los Angeles Lakers and spent some time in the National Basketball Association. 50 years, though, that you have combined NBA experience. We mentioned how Chris Crutchfield was instrumental in not only recruiting Buddy Hield and Trae Young to Oklahoma, but getting them to the next level. The continuous thing we hear over and over and over again from Devontae Davis, K.K. Robinson, Moses Moody, Jalen Williams, other recruits is that I would say the number one thing, we'll ask Richard about this coming up, is this staff's NBA experience. That is so essential in today's college basketball world because of how badly these kids want to make it to the next level. So when you have a track record, when you have a past in the old NBA or in the NBA, and as Moses Moody described it, coach has already been at the mountaintop. I want to get to the mountaintop. That's essential when recruiting these kids. That's why you continuously hear these guys, regardless if they commit to the U of A or not. One of the biggest reasons, if not the biggest reason, they've committed or talked with Arkansas is because of what, Tommy?
NBA experience. Staff. The perceived, and they've got to make it more reality, pathway to the NBA. That's why Mason Jones getting drafted is a huge thing. That's why Isaiah Joe and what happens to him, big. Because it's one thing to say we got 50 years of experience on the staff. What the kid ultimately wants to know and their parents want to know is how many players have you gotten drafted and how much money are they making? Because that's the goal, right? Just get paid. So all that experience is great, but only if you can put it to work for you. And that's why what happens with Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe is a big, important thing to watch.
You think about Cody and Caleb Martin, you think about the connections that Musk has in the NBA, but you bring up a very important point. Not only is it important to have that past NBA experience, but you have to have players that go through your system and make an impact at the next level. Now, I'm not talking they have to be LeBron James, James Harden, Giannis Antetokounmpo, but you do have to have a track record of getting guys to the NBA. Now, Arkansas has a decent track record of guys playing in the NBA. Now, it's not Kentucky, it's not Duke, it's not Kansas, but it's a pretty decent track record of guys that have made an impact in the NBA. And so you want to be able to continue that process. We asked Sam Pittman when he was on last week, hey, coach, how important to you is it when it comes to recruiting that you've had 25-plus years of Arkansas, or 25 years straight of an Arkansas player getting drafted? He said, that's huge. It's a big deal, and we want to continue that. Well, the same could be said about Arkansas basketball. You want to have a stretch, as long as Eric Musselman's here and whenever he leaves after, that you just have a continuous guy getting drafted, maybe two guys, maybe even three guys drafted. I know Moses, I know KK, I know Jalen, and I know Devontae, and I'm just assuming, I don't know 100%, but I would guess that they want to be one and done. Not all of them can be. I'd be surprised if more than one was. I think Moses is the most likely of the four. But it's important that you do have guys that do take that next step, because otherwise all this NBA experience that you always talk about and push, it's all for naught. It doesn't mean as much because there's no validation with the players that actually make it to the next level.
Yeah, because best NBA career of any former Razorback is who? I'd still say Sidney Moncrief, wouldn't you?
Sidney Moncrief, probably followed by Joe Johnson.
Joe Johnson would be my next. And then the next name that comes to mind, this may not be right, would be Patrick Beverley, maybe. Maybe that's just because it's so recent. Carlos Williamson was a guy that came off the bench, but I'm, you know.
He was a sixth man on that Pistons team. So.
Boy, is you got a couple of guys on that list, and they haven't played in the last 15 years. Most of those guys, I mean, you look at Joe Johnson, we're going back, what, almost 20 years now? Not quite.
Since he's been drafted.
Since he played at Arkansas.
Oh, okay. I was confused.
I mean, I'm talking about, you know, you go back 40 years for Moncrief, a little more than that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you go back 25 years for Corliss. I'm just talking about at Arkansas, you got to get some guys in recent times that come out of Musselman's system. That's not going to happen overnight. That go have strong careers. The problem anymore is you only stay a year, maybe two if you're that good, in college. And then the path to the NBA, unless you're just an elite talent, is through the G League, through international basketball to get there. I mean, you look like we talked to Dusty Hannes and B.J. Young the last couple of weeks. That's the path they've been taking. And, you know, it's just so hard to get there and, boom, arrive on the scene like a Malik Monk did. He didn't go to Arkansas, obviously, but from this state and, you know, make an impact with your team. And he's now been up and down, back and forth between the G League and the league.
Ken McPherson mentioned this when we had this on yesterday. Moses Moody in one mock draft is already inside the top 30 of the first round in 2021. That's important. The rising recruiting rankings is important because you want the perception to be that these guys coming in and when they go out are going to get highly drafted or going to get drafted for that matter. You don't want to be in a situation where you have a Mason Jones who's on the fringe and Isaiah Joe who seems to be more on the fringe than he was a couple months ago, because not to say that they can't have success if they're drafted regardless, but that's a big deal. Taylor Chaney puts on our Facebook Live, Beverly, Portis, and Gafford are the most recent NBA guys out of Arkansas. I know Gafford had, he had the highest percentage on the Bulls. It might have been across the board in the NBA of any rookie when it comes to field goal percentage. Most of his points were coming off of dunks, passed from, I think it's Colby Johnson. I know it's a North Carolina point guard, I'm forgetting his name. But it's just important to have that prior NBA experience. But again, it's not worthwhile. It's not validated unless you get those guys to the next level.
Right. I mean, that's the only thing that matters is, can you help these players become rich? Because that's what they want to be someday, is rich. So, and wealthy.
And in the National Basketball Association, it's one thing to play overseas. It's one thing to play in the G League. But everyone wants to get to the pinnacle. Everyone wants to get to the mountaintop, which is Adam Silver's league. 877-377-6963 is the number to call or text in. Coming up, we're going to talk to Richard Davenport about recruiting. I want to get into this conversation, how important that is for prospective players coming to Arkansas and the ones that have signed. Stay with us. This is the Morning Rush.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Richard, I already got a question for you this morning. This comes from JP from Alma, asking about offensive line recruits that Arkansas is going after. What are some of the guys that have been notable that Sam Pittman and Brad Davis has really been targeted on, man?
Well, I wrote about one on Tuesday, Devin Manuel from Louisiana. He visited Arkansas earlier in the spring and received an offer, his first SEC offer from Arkansas during that time. And that it's always been his dream to play in the SEC. 6'8", 315. He's got Arkansas offers from Arkansas, Indiana, Iowa State, Houston, and Kansas, and several others. But he's a guy that I would say is somewhat of a little bit of a project. But, you know, when you're 6'8", 315, you got everything you're looking forward to turn into a, you know, an SEC type offensive lineman, but he's got the physical capability. Talking to Caleb Johnson, a offensive lineman out of Florida last night. He just got offered by Florida. He's always told me that he's wanting to visit Arkansas, and that continues to be the case now. So those are just a couple off the top of my head. There's several others, but you know, you're not gonna have a shortage of offensive linemen that are interested in Arkansas just because of Coach Pittman's reputation and Coach Davis's reputation too.
Richard, I know it's a little slower time during the coronavirus, but when I think about the constant news I'm hearing about Razorback basketball recruiting, how much more time are you spending with Razorback basketball recruiting than you would have been, I don't know, 10 to 20 years ago?
With Coach Muss and them, yeah, definitely. Because, you know, right now, obviously, you can't have on-campus visits, so they're doing a lot of virtual tours with kids, and that's a constant thing with them. They're doing anywhere from 2 to 4 a day, basically, on average. And each one lasts about 20 to 30 minutes, I'll reach out and get some feedback from some of those prospects and see how they went. But, you know, that's the thing about Coach Muston. They recruit, 365 days of the year, and it's not like, you know, even if you're allotted 13 scholarships are full, they're still going to be recruiting, because obviously with the turnover and in basketball, as far as transfers and things like that, you got to recruit you expect turnover, and that's something that they do, and they're relentless.
We were looking at some of these recruiting rankings for players, and Moses Moody has moved up 9 spots to number 37, according to 247 Sports. And then you look at K.K. Robinson, up 40 spots to number 36. Now, Richard, that raised my eyebrows. How do you move up 40 spots when nothing's going on? I've never seen a player move 40 spots in one ranking. Have you?
Honestly, I kind of jumped off at me too.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't know the explanation for that. Don't get me wrong. I'm a KK Robinson fan, but it would be nice to get an explanation for that. Obviously, they saw him play during the Oak Hill season and was very impressed. And sometimes in these cases, and I was talking to somebody else earlier in the week and saw KK, and he didn't play particularly well, and that impacted their particular rankings on KK. So it's evidently they caught him when he played a pretty good stretch or something. I couldn't give you an answer why.
Yeah.
But all I know is that I like KK, and one thing that he will do, he will compete. And probably one of my favorite things that I can say about him is when I was watching him at Beach Jam last summer, and his team pro skills was down about, I'm thinking, 25, maybe even 30 points to a team, and he was still going 110%. I'll be honest with you, that told me more about him than anything else. When you know your chances of winning are basically nil, and you're still going 110%, that was huge for me.
So you think he was undervalued when he was ranked in the mid 70s, or is he overvalued? Is he undervalued then, or is he overvalued now in the 30s? Does he belong in the mid 30s in these rankings, in your opinion?
Well, you know, who I was talking to earlier this week said 100 to 150. So it's you know, we all evaluate differently. We all like certain things about certain players, it's kind of like the NFL draft, or college football recruiting. NFL draft, somebody may have somebody rated as a fourth rounder. Somebody may have a guy, a first rounder. And sometimes, you know, some of these guys that are rated 4 stars, certain schools look at them and think, well, no, that guy's rated too high. We don't look at him as a 4 star. So each individual just, you know, evaluates differently.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say, but I forgot to sing.
And Richard, you've been doing this for quite some time, and it seems like sometimes Arkansas, whether it's football, basketball, they end up on the wrong end of the side of things. Kids just drop. It's for inexplicably no reason. So it's nice every once in a while to see something like this with a kid in Arkansas that's going to Arkansas, particularly in KK and Moses. You actually see them rising up the boards and falling.
Yeah, well, I understand that a little bit from Arkansas fans. I think there is definitely some bias when you're talking about Alabama's and Texas and you know, Auburn's, Georgia and Clemson, schools like that. I think I don't care what anybody says, when a school like that offers a kid, the people that do these rankings, I promise you, they take notice of that. So if a kid's going along and getting offers from Arkansas and you know, mid-level success programs, I don't think that really impacts them much. But you let one of the top programs do that, and I think it changes a little bit. And there's some politics in there. I'm not saying that a lot, but there is some politics there.
Richard, last segment we were talking about the importance of Eric Musselman and his staff's NBA experience. Would you say that's their number one strength, is just having that background?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a no-brainer. I mean, every guy, they know, they just, in the back of their mind, they just know they're going to go to the NBA. And when you have somebody that's been there, done that, and can really break it down to how they can get you to that level like Coach Musselman and his staff can do. I mean, you got Coach Muss, and you got Coach Muss, Moser. You got Corey Williams, who has NBA experience. So all that helps that, you know, you're going to be coached by guys that have been there. And when they give a breakdown of your game, which they do, and it's very detailed, and how you can improve and how they can improve you and get you to that league, you start to listen to guys like that. And I'm sure there's a lot of other programs that are pretty detailed in how they break down the talent level of a kid, but I would imagine Coach Musselman and his staff's right up there with the very top.
Richard, we know how important Tulsa is to Arkansas football recruiting, but how fertile is it basketball-wise in that area?
Say again?
How many great basketball recruits are in the Tulsa area? We know about the football players. I mean, you think Felix Jones, you think there's a bunch of others that have come out that have helped Arkansas. How important, how fertile is the recruiting area for Tulsa basketball?
I think the state of Oklahoma, period, is very fertile. Tulsa definitely produces a good amount of high level prospects, but even Oklahoma City, it's not too far away from Tulsa, and you see Arkansas offering kids left and right in the state of not left and right, but you see them offering several kids a year in Oklahoma, and I think that's going to continue to go forward. And Tulsa definitely, historically, Arkansas has done pretty good getting kids out of Tulsa. I mean, Clint McDaniel's the one that you think about, and Lee Mayberry and others.
Yeah. Now, obviously asking the question because Arkansas is going to play Oklahoma beginning this next basketball season in December there. What kind of impact do you think that has having that kind of visibility? Arkansas actually is going to play twice in the Tulsa area next year. Just being more visible in Oklahoma, do you think that'll have much impact for Arkansas and Musselman's recruiting effort?
Well, obviously Coach Musselman and his staff think so, because that, you know, when you usually do something like that, you're thinking about recruiting. And I think it definitely can help. Even though Fayetteville and Tulsa are not that far away, if a kid in the Tulsa area or Oklahoma City or surrounding areas has family, they can obviously, they don't have to maybe drive as far to Tulsa to watch Arkansas play. And another thing, when you get two programs like Arkansas and Oklahoma together, the game's going to be on TV. And it's great playing in the SEC, and that's a very attractive thing for kids. But also to be able to play a strong non-conference schedule and get some high-profile games, that's another sell that you can do to prospects.
Well, I think Musselman's also looking at it from the standpoint of strength of schedule, RPI, net rankings, all of that, in your non-conference portion. Arkansas was like 12th last year. He wants to keep that number up. I think this is a venue and a destination fans will enjoy. It's not too far from Northwest Arkansas and the western side of the state. I think, you know, you got Oklahoma for 2 years, maybe 2 years beyond that is in the contract as a possible extension. I think about schools like Kansas State, Oklahoma State. I know Arkansas is part of that SEC Big 12 challenge where they play one game, but I think there's some schools in that region that it would be a win-win for both sides of that equation, and Arkansas would love to play, I think, some of these other schools. I'd love to see Arkansas, Kansas in a situation like
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. I'm here with you.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see Coach Musselman afraid of competition, because he's got confidence in himself and his staff. Obviously, how they recruit and how they're going to be able to sign guys in the future, because we hit on it earlier how aggressive they are recruiting. He's confident in himself and his staff to be able to have a roster full of talent.
Wouldn't it be interesting for Jeff Long and Hunter Yurecek to be trying to negotiate some kind of series in a sport? That would be an interesting conversation, I'm sure.
The fans would love to beat Kansas in that
Oh, man.
Because of that.
No, I agree 100%. Richard Davenport, of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You can follow him on Twitter at AR Recruiting Guy. Read his stuff every single week on Whole Hog Sports and the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Richard, we always appreciate it. And as you are, we're excited for that Tulsa game in December.
Absolutely.
The toughest question.
What is going on?
The easiest answer. Pick your category.
Light on medical knowledge, heavy on Broadway trivia.
Ty or Tommy.
Fight!
It's time for Trivia Thursday.
Is this the Showcase Showdown or Jeopardy?
I just picked a game show that would, and this is not Jeopardy. It's Price is Right, actually. Yeah. So, all right, Jenkins.
Bob Barker, come on down.
You've done a pretty good job on Would You Rather Tuesday, and this is all you.
So is this my next promotion?
This is your next promotion.
We can't pay you any more money, but we can give you a promotion.
Yeah, hey, that's fine. I've been told I got the voice of a game show host. So. Yeah. By the way, I'm no longer Matt Jenkins. I'm no longer SmackDown. Class is in session. I'm going back to being BB High School teacher. You're now talking to Mr. Jenkins.
Mr. Jenkins.
So.
Don't let me button my top collar here all the time.
Right. So, yeah. No. In honor of the NFL is releasing their schedule. NFL's releasing their schedule tonight, so these questions are NFL related.
And right? Again, Tommy and I, we did not know the answers.
I didn't know the topic.
And yeah, we did, and that was the other thing. We didn't know the topic either. So I don't want you to use your boss power to try and persuade him to do a certain thing, because I want this to be fair. Because I want to show
I didn't even know about this segment till last night, so I have not had a chance to flex the muscles
and,
yet.
And all, yes. In all honesty... I do not know a single thing that Jenkins is about to say. So this should be a true test of who's smarter on this program.
Or on this topic.
So
you already answered the other question.
Everything, all these trivia questions came off of usefultrivia.com. All
right.
So there we go. All right. How do we want to score this? Do you just want to, like...
Well, 10 and 15 questions, just tally it up. We'll make it easy.
Just ask Tommy, and if Tommy gets it wrong, Ty gets an opportunity and vice versa. Is that fair with you guys?
Let's go.
Or you just want first one to talk?
Should have probably planned this before we did the segment.
First one to get it.
All right. Number one, who was the first player drafted in the first NFL draft in 1936? Was it Don Hutson, Bart Starr, Jay Bergwagner, or Sammy Baugh?
Bart Starr.
Jay Bergwagner.
That is correct. Ty, it is Jay Bergwagner.
No idea. All right, that's one.
Good guess.
In 1993, what NFL team made an offseason trade for Joe Montana and Marcus Allen? Was it the San Francisco 49ers, the Denver Broncos, the Kansas City Chiefs?
That's same.
Same time. Just to make a happy boss, I'll give that one to Tommy.
I think I was slightly ahead of him.
It's fair enough.
Replay the tape on that one.
Chiefs. I said it louder. Means I win the argument.
What team was originally named the New York Titans? Was it the Kansas City Chiefs, Tennessee Titans, the New York Giants, or the New York Jets?
Jets.
Jets is correct.
What do you want me to do? Pile on? What's my role now?
All right. Who was the first player to rush for 1,000 yards in an NFL season? Jim Brown, Steve Van Buren, Beatty Feathers, or Joe Perry?
Brown. It's probably not right.
That seems like the obvious answer.
So I don't think
Jim Brown is not correct, Tom. Tommy?
Perry.
Perry is not correct either. The correct answer is Beatty Feathers.
Who?
Beatty Feathers. Of the Chicago Bears, he rushed for 1,004 yards in 1934.
All right.
Side note, he did it on 119 carries and had 8.4 yards a carry.
All right.
I highlighted the good ones on here. So, who holds the best rookie passer rating in NFL history?
It's not Peyton Manning.
Is it Tom Brady, Robert Griffin III, Dan Marino, or Dak Prescott?
Dan Marino.
Marino is incorrect. What'd you say?
Prescott.
Prescott is correct. He had a 104.9 passer rating, beating Robert Griffin III, set in 2012.
I feel like it's anytime there's an obvious answer, it's not
the
answer.
That's exactly
it's,
what
it's
yeah.
the one that it's obscure yeah. that you wouldn't think is correct.
Marino should be the answer, right?
What is the oldest NFL franchise in continuous operation with the same name in the same location? The Cleveland Browns, the Arizona Cardinals, the Chicago Bears, or the Green Bay Packers?
Packers.
Packers is correct.
Ed Gumbin.
Tommy, you are getting whooped right now.
Taking you out to the woodshed.
Tommy, this one has
You're just guessing better.
This has your name written all over, Tommy. What Motown singer tried out for the Detroit Lions in 1970 was it Smokey Robinson, Lionel Richie, Stevie Wonder, or Marvin Gaye?
It wasn't. It was not Stevie Wonder. I will bet everything I got it wasn't Stevie Wonder.
Oh, man.
I did not put these Andrew choices together. Just let the record show.
I bet everything on that. The chips to the center of the table is not that one.
Smokey Robinson, Lionel Richie, or Marvin Gaye?
I have no idea. I'm going to guess Smokey Robinson.
That is incorrect. Tom?
Who's the guy after Lionel Richie?
Please say Stevie Wonder.
Who's the guy after Lionel Richie?
Marvin Gaye?
Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye is correct. Marvin Gaye, he says here, he bulked nearly 30 pounds and trained with the future Hall of Fame tight end Charlie Sanders while preparing for a tryout. He didn't make the cut, but remains close with several players who also sang background vocals for one of his songs. So good for him.
He had that singing career to fall back on.
Right.
Poor him.
Poor him. Which NFL player holds the record for the... Let me rephrase that. Which player holds the NFL record for the longest interception return? Is it Ed Reed, Ronnie Lott, Eric Berry, or Deion Sanders?
I'm going to go Ronnie Lott.
Ronnie Lott is incorrect. Tommy, you need this to get back into the ballgame.
I really need this. I need it to count for double. I want to say Ed Reed, but something's telling me Deion Sanders.
Go with your gut.
Which one's my gut? Ed Reed.
Ed Reed is correct.
So what is it, 4-2?
It is 5-2.
5-2.
5-2. Okay.
Getting whooped.
This is going to be up for grabs for both of you. What team won the first night football game ever played? Was it the Canton Bulldogs, the Chicago Bears, the Akron Pros, or the Philadelphia Athletics?
You want me to go first?
You guess first.
Philadelphia Athletics.
Philadelphia Athletics is correct.
I'm going to say Philadelphia Athletics as well.
What player led the NFL with 27 rushing touchdowns in 2003? Amon Green, Marshall Faulk, Jamal Lewis, or Priest Holmes?
Priest Holmes.
Priest Holmes is correct, boss man. It is 6-3 right now. In 1982, the NFL season, who was the first professional quarterback to pass for 5,000 yards in a season? Was it Dan Marino, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, or Warren Moon?
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning is incorrect.
I don't know if Marino did it. I don't think Moon did it either. I'll go Marino.
You'll go Marino. Marino's wrong. It actually was Warren Moon.
That would have been my second guess just because of the age of the players. So Moon before those guys.
Warren Moon was the correct answer. Which NFL team?
Do I get half a point for wishing I'd have said Warren Moon?
I mean, I can give it to you. You need all the points you can get. 6-3 right now in favor of the young gun, Ty Richardson. Right.
Aaron from Van Buren texts and he says he loves Trivia Thursday. He loves Tommy getting whipped. Great content. Come on, Tommy.
Well, I mean, he might be getting whipped today, but if he loses, he picks the category next week. That's so he could pick one that's more catered to him.
Yeah.
And when he does, or when one of us pick that category, don't pick the one off the top, because my guess is one of us is going to click on the first like three or something and go through the answers. Pick like one, like
oh, you're not going to know the topic till it's time.
Yeah, I'm saying you will go through the Google stuff, look through the answers. So I'm saying go down the list on Google and make sure you don't pick out one that he said, or don't pick out the one that he tells you to do either. I'm trying to make this fair and impartial.
Trout fishing trivia. James Taylor's greatest hits.
Ooh, that's a
something
good one.
Next week that you'll have no clue on.
What NFL team scored the most points in a single Super Bowl? Was it the Patriots, the 49ers, the Packers, or my Dallas Cowboys?
Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys is incorrect.
You said the most Super Bowls?
Both.
Super Bowl points.
Most points in a single Super Bowl.
Patriots, Dallas Cowboys, Packers.
I think it's the Cowboys.
Pats.
The Pats is not correct either. It is actually the San Francisco 49ers. 1990, they scored 55 points. Won by 45. It's the most.
It might have been one of those early 90s Cowboys throttlings of the Bills they gave them, you know.
How many times has New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees passed for over 5,000 yards in a season? 4 times. 2 times, 5 times, or 3 times?
4.
4 is incorrect.
3.
3 is incorrect also.
C is never the answer.
It is actually 5 times.
Wow.
We are 6-3 still. Let's see. I got a couple more here we can rattle through real quick. Which NFL player, or excuse me, which player supposedly put the 50-year curse on the Detroit Lions? Dutch Clark, Greg Landry, Earl Morrell, or Bobby Lane?
I've never heard of any of those guys.
I was going to say I haven't either.
You want to pass that one?
No.
Say
them again.
Guess.
Bobby Lane, Earl Morrell, Greg Landry, or Dutch Clark?
I'm going to say Dutch Clark because I like that name.
That is incorrect. Tommy, you need this in the worst way possible.
Bobby McLean, was that the first name you gave?
That's close enough. It was Bobby Lane.
Bobby Lane, yeah.
Bobby Lane, yeah. 6-4. Tommy, you need two.
All right.
We'll stop this in about 45
seconds. We're going to stop it when I get ahead is when we're going to stop it.
Who is the first player in NFL history to pass for 400 yards, 4 touchdown passes, and rush for 50 yards in a single game? Dak Prescott, Steve Young, Michael Vick, or Deshaun Watson?
Steve Young.
Steve Young is incorrect.
Michael Vick.
Michael Vick is incorrect. It is actually Deshaun Watson.
Wow.
Yeah. Which quarterback did Tampa Bay trade away for the second and fourth round draft picks in 87? Dante Culpepper, Brett Favre, Steve Young, or Vinny Testaverde?
Vinny Testaverde.
It is incorrect.
Dante Culpepper.
You boys don't know anything about the NFL. I thought you would have. His answer was Steve Young, actually.
Steve Young?
Steve Young.
I knew it wasn't some of those other those guys played. Favre and those other guys played after that came into the league.
What team drafted Brett Favre? The Packers, the Raiders, Falcons, or the Vikings?
Falcons.
Falcons is correct. That is 7-4. What year was a sudden death overtime period adopted by the NFL? 1954, 64, 74, or 84?
84.
84 is incorrect.
74.
74 is correct.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.